It's when we get caught up in fear, doubt, and disbelief. So by the way, those are human stimulants as well. Fear is a human stimulant. A stress is a human stimulant. So is alcohol and drugs. They're all human stimulants. But if we allow those stimulants to overrun us and not be stimulated by the things that are important to us, like relationships and love and belonging and community, then we are lost. We're lost because of our own doing.
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. And we don't want you to worry about taking too many notes, so you can join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club, and we'll send you the transcripts and show notes from every episode. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Show. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and I am absolutely thrilled to be with you here for another episode. My gosh, we're well into our fourth year. I am so excited. I think we're actually headed in, going into our fifth soon. I'll have to check that out. I know we're 200 plus episodes as well. So I just keep learning so much. I am so excited about the amazing people I meet. And tonight, do we have an awesome guest. I am just so excited. I'm shaking. That's how excited I am. His name is Daniel Gutierrez, and he was a high-powered executive and an in-demand consultant for years, absolutely years, and featured on prestigious places and advised the Department of White House personnel in the Obama administration, highly regarded and deeply revered leader of many things. He's listed as the top 100 Hispanics in America along with Los Angeles Mayor Antonio.
I'm going to have Villaraigosa.
Villaraigosa. Thank you, Daniel. I got stuck there, as well as CNN's Soledad O'Brien. And Daniel got to this point in his life where he just felt that there had to be another chapter. And that's when he had dedicated part of his life to becoming a master of mindfulness. And during the past 10 years, it has led him on many quests around the world, to the heights of Machu Picchu, to the depths of the Amazon, to the top of the Himalayas. And so I'm just going to leave it there. As you can tell, it's awesome. And he's got a brand new book out called Radical Mindfulness. And he has a completely different take on mindfulness, which I find so profound. One of the quotes that I love is, to get to the highest tops, one must explore the deepest depths. And if you've listened to my show at all, you know I am a true believer in that we must explore the emotional side of autoimmune and the spiritual side of autoimmune, not just the symptoms, the health, physical symptoms of it. You'll remember that Dr. David Clark and Sarah Payton are two people that I refer to often on the show. Check back on their podcast where they talk about how the emotional part of trauma, past traumas, things like that that happen in our life can exacerbate autoimmune systems. And after reading Daniel's book, I'll tell you he's right on top of that as well. It's about being present. So tonight we're going to talk a lot about what does being present mean. So welcome, Daniel.
Well, hello, Sharon, and thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh my gosh, when we were introduced, and here again, guys, this is, you never know who you meet. We have a mutual dear, dear friend. Yeah. And we were like, oh my gosh, actually two dear friends, both of them said, you got to meet each other. And I'm like, okay, that's a real sign that we've got it. And this is Daniel's fifth book. So tell us a little bit about your story. Why Radical Mindfulness?
Wow. I guess in order to do that, I have to paint a picture. So if you will, just follow me along. Imagine yourself in New York City. I was in New York City in a November, December timeframe. I'm sitting in a extremely high-end restaurant, membership-only restaurant. I'm in a big, fat leather chair, and at the time with my $250 shot of cognac. I'm wearing my custom-made suit, custom-made shoes, And I'm looking out the window just full of myself. I was just like, look what I have done. And I'm looking outside and the snow is coming down. I'm on the 35th floor in Manhattan. So it's the sexiest scene you could ever imagine. You know, it's like, wow, this is stuff out of It's a Wonderful Life. You know, it's coming down. And I look at my reflection in the glass, and there's a tear coming down my eyes. And I looked, and for a moment there, I kind of went into a little bit of a gaze, so to speak. And I hear this voice, and the voice says, "Who are you? What have you become?
Wow!
And what values did you sell to get where you're at?" And I thought to myself, "What?" I was just like, all of a sudden, like my whole world, like, I never want to say that what I was experiencing was not success, but all of a sudden it was turned upside down. The truth is that I had gotten to that level of success with a whole lot of stress. It was my motivator was stress. It was not peace and tranquility. Now I have to go back a few years to go forward. When I was 17 years old, I was a licensed Baptist minister, and I don't say that very often, but I was a licensed Baptist minister. So back then I got the idea of spirituality. And even though I didn't pursue that lifestyle for a long time, I had a basis of understanding of what values meant. Fast forward to sitting in the chair, and I think this voice was saying, "What happened to Danny Boy? What happened to that 17-year-old? Who are you today?" And all of a sudden, I was empty. All of a sudden, I realized that looking around, that all of the things that I had called success no longer mattered. It was that fast. And I'm looking around and going, well, now what? So I decided that I would leave it all. Manhattan, at the time I was president of one of the most prestigious C-suite organizations in New York City. I was managing from Los Angeles, flying back and forth. I was an advisor to the Department of White House personnel for the 8 years. And I was a very successful, high-paid speaker. I had no reason to leave. Had absolutely no reason, but I did. I gave it all up. I said, all right, now what? So I decided that I would travel for the next 6 years. I literally took myself off the market. I no longer made the White House calls. I wasn't engaged. I was ending my presidency in New York City, so I didn't engage. I literally just said, okay, now what? So I traveled to the heights of the Himalayas to work with the monks. I traveled to the Amazon to work with the maestros of the Amazon and the heights of the Andes for the Pacos in Peru. And so if you can imagine, after 5 or 6 years, I remember stopping at some point and going, oh my gosh, what did I do? Because I'm getting close to broke. Why did I leave? It's like all of a sudden it was like I woke up again. What were you thinking? Why did you walk away from all that? And then I was sitting at home one day and I got a call from my siblings. And one of my sisters called and says, you need to come home. Mother had been sick for 2 years. Her health had taken a turn for the worst. And I said, I'm coming home. So I go home, and my siblings had been watching Mother in the hospital. So I said, why don't you guys go home and let me be with her? Let me attend to her. Let me be here for her. And you guys go home and let me take care of her. So I'm sitting there taking care of her and I'm watching her. And as you guys know, there's no hospital room that's made for anyone that is staying there to be comfortable. I mean, the couch was half my size and it was like 30 degrees in there. And so I couldn't sleep. And I couldn't sleep because of the bells were going off and I was scared. I was scared she was going to die. And inside me, the struggle was the ego and my humanness. Poor me, I'm losing my mother. And you horrible son, you should have visited your mother more often. What were you thinking, right? I mean, all these things were going through my mind. Then all of a sudden, I remembered what the Buddhist monks taught me. And then I remembered what the maestro from the Amazon taught me. And then I remember what I learned in the Andes. And I realized that in that moment, I needed to be still and very present. So I put those thoughts aside. I put aside the pain that I was feeling. I put aside the emotions that I was feeling. I put aside the human reaction to a parent dying beside. And I stayed very present. And I'm watching my mother. And about 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm just kind of staring at her. There was nothing else to do. And I begin to feel the struggle of her liver inside my own body. And I begin to feel her heart struggle in my own body. I could feel the breathing, the struggle for breathing. And I didn't know what was happening. I was like, how can this be that I'm feeling this in my body? And then before I knew it, and I don't know if this was 30 seconds or 30 hours, I just don't know. The time just kind of slipped away. I looked over at my mother where she was lying, and she was no longer my mom. She was a light. And there's this beautiful light. And I'm just looking at it going, what is this? And then immediately after that, I was a light. So I was no longer Daniel and she was no longer mom. We were two lights. And she spoke to me and this is what she said. She said, many lifetimes, you made me a promise before we incarnated into this body. You promised me that when I needed you most, you would be here. And you are. I release you from your contract. Thank you. And in a second, the light was gone. And I'm just sitting there crying because what a gift. I mean, what an amazing moment. And none of that would have been possible. My whole life was designed for that moment that I could share with that spirit that was called my mother was the most incredible thing I had ever experienced in my entire life. All of the craziness, the mosquitoes and the Amazon, everything I had done, the answer to the question why was because this was my path. And in that moment, that's where the word came from, radical mindfulness. I realized that mindfulness, which is just awareness, there's more to it. The radical part is that moment by moment, constant redirection of your thoughts and ideas toward the common goal that you have. If it's autoimmune, if it's cancer, if it's business, if it's stress, if we don't stay present, then we miss the gift. And I was present. And that's where the word radical came from, that moment. I had been signed to write a book with a very famous agent. It was called Dancing in the Chaos. And the book wasn't doing that. We couldn't sell it. It was like, I don't understand. When I experienced that with my mother, I realized that again, I was getting caught up in my ego and getting caught up in how could corporate buy my book and what would I need to say for them. And I called the agent on my return home and I told the agent, you're fired. And they said, are you crazy? Like, I'm one of the best agents in the world and you can't fire me. I said, I just did. I said, it's not because I don't like you. It's because it's the wrong book. I have to write a book about my experience with my mother. I have to write from my heart. And if you don't like it, that's okay. The right people will show up. And so I began writing Radical Mindfulness, which is now finally after 20 months, very painful to write because I talk about this experience with my mother and much greater detail. There's so much that happened in those 3 days. I left her on Valentine's Day because I had to bring my son back to school. The hardest thing I ever did in my life, and yet also an incredible thing for me. But I had to leave, and I brought her back on I came home on Valentine's Day, which I'll never forget, and she passed away 4 days later on the 18th. Mm-hmm. And so that's was my experience in realizing that my entire life was so that I could experience that. And there's no words. There's no words for that. But what I realized in that moment was that the things that I had to do to stay that radically present rings true for all human experiences, whether it's diseases, relationships, financial, our ability to stay present and recognize that we have absolutely no power anywhere but in the present moment, and that our connection to the divine, our connection to source, or our connection to the universe, whatever you want to call it, is only in the present moment. It is only in that present moment that I can absolutely do things that will shift my human experience to something I desire rather than I don't. And that's kind of what this book's all about.
Oh my gosh, you've got me, have me in tears here as well as just excitement. I've had similar moments during my healing experience as well, not as profound as that, but one day, sunny sky, I get caught in a downpour that's unbelievable. It's just like, where did that come from? And it seemed to be just over me. And I ended up running into a basement shop, one of those shops that you have to kind of run down the stairs to, you know, and it turned out to be a little import shop from a man who was from Nepal. And I was the only one in the shop, drenched, and he looked at me and he said something like, you're here for me to teach you to meditate.
And I'm wow. Like,
what? No, I'm here because it's pouring down rain. And it's still raining cats and dogs. And then it was so profound the way that he described what was going on in my life. I mean, he'd seen me for like 30 seconds all wet. And that's it. And he's describing that I have an autoimmune, or he didn't say autoimmune, but I have a condition with my skin and body that needs healing, and that the only way to do that is to understand myself. And so we sat there for 40 minutes and he taught me how to go inside. He taught me how to relax and really be present with myself. It was similar. It was one of those experiences like you're mentioning, how is this happening?
Mm-hmm.
And those are the moments that when I look at my autoimmune experience, I realize why this experience. And it's taught me to call it an autoimmune experience. Dear friend of mine, Dave Dashinger, calls his cancer journey. Mm-hmm. And I find those words much more powerful. And I was listening to your story. You use similar types of descriptors
mm-hmm.
for us to understand what it is that the part we're going through. Oh my gosh, that was so profound. Let's talk a little bit though about presence. It can be elusive, shall I say.
Sure.
Especially when you're given a life-altering diagnosis where, so I like to call them the white coat authority, because we have this mindset of believing everything certain people in certain places tell us. We've been taught that, you know, what they say is true. And when we're given an autoimmune diagnosis, oftentimes, you know, it comes from the white coat authority, and it's very elusive at times to go, that is statistics. That is his or her best judgment. That is, you know, it's not my life sentence. And so let's talk about being presence, because I know I don't do presence like you do, but when I'm able to be present, I know that I can feel the healing happening.
Yes, yes. You know, as I was sharing with you before the show, that I got the opportunity to work with someone with autoimmune for quite a while. And the whole time my goal was to get her to, she didn't call it autoimmune. She didn't want to even acknowledge it. And I said, but the very not acknowledging is causing the problem you have. You're looking at it as a sentence. I'm looking at it as a gift, because without it, you'd have nothing to say. And she goes, what do you mean? I said, imagine the people that can learn from you because you're like them. You see, we all bond in our brokenness. That is where we find our absolute connection to humanity. And if we ignore that or try to wish it away, it's a slap in the face of the universe to say, I'm not accepting that. Well, I'm not saying that you have to like it, but acceptance or unconditional acceptance creates an opportunity for us to be able to experience life in such a different way. I'm not discounting at all what it is or what it does to your body, because I've seen it with some of my friends. And yet, even in all that, our ability to stay present, we're able to find the gifts in that moment. It's when we get caught up in fear, doubt, and disbelief. So, by the way, those are human stimulants as well. Fear is a human stimulant. Stress is a human stimulant. So is alcohol and drugs. They're all human stimulants. But if we allow those stimulants to overrun us, and not be stimulated by the things that are important to us, like relationships and love and belonging and community, then we are lost. We're lost because of our own doing, not because of someone else or what we have. I mean, at the end of the day, many people go through, like David, I know who you're talking about. You know, it's a journey. Of course it was a journey. Doesn't mean that we discount the fact that it was real. It's just a journey. It's an experience. It's a human experience. The truth is that the ocean is not the ocean without waves, and nor is life without problems. We all have them, and it's relative to who we are. They seem more important than others, but it's not. And we get to learn to experience those. And so what I was telling this young lady who I worked with was, but your resistance to what you wish not to have is causing it to flare up. Resistance is a big problem. So the more we resist, right? You've heard that, what we resist persists. So becoming present requires a few practices. One of them being unconditional acceptance. I will accept life as accept the cards I've been dealt. I don't have to accept the result of those cards. I can accept the fact that these are the cards I have. And the only way that I get to do that is by realizing that without unconditional acceptance, I have no future. Because then it is the autoimmune disease that is in control. Doesn't mean you're not going to have pain in your hands. It doesn't, whatever it is that may happen to you may not mean that you're not able to think straight. We're not discounting any of that. But I know, because after working with this young lady for 2 years, her symptoms are very much minimized. Why? Because she finally got it. That we're not trying to minimize that you do or do not have something. What I'm saying is you don't have to give into it. And that in not doing that, you can strengthen yourself and strengthen your immune system, because it's been proven that the telomeres in our body are destroyed with negative thoughts. It's destroyed by aging. And the more we think negatively or we accept emotional discord, the less telomeres we have in our body, and the immune system is broken down. So if we don't destroy those telomeres by buying into this idea that I have something, even though you may, then we're not destroying the telomeres that have the power to strengthen themselves so that you have more power later on, right? So you have that energy. So this is what I was trying to explain to her, is that being present only in our right now, radically mindful in the right now, do we have the ability to connect to source, universe, God, whatever you call it, something bigger than ourselves, and actually create a human experience that is different from the one we've been walking.
Oh my gosh. We need to take a quick commercial break, but this is just awesome. And one thing I like to say, I just throw this out there, the idea of the difference between acceptance and ownership. And I remember when I had a little discussion when my rheumatologist said, "Sharon, get real." I am real. I accept that I could have cockroaches, but that doesn't mean I own them, nor do I want to keep them.
You're not feeding them.
Exactly. And that was my metaphor for this person to understand that I accept what the diagnosis, I could see, I could feel what my body is currently experiencing, but that doesn't mean I have to own it. And I like people to understand the significant difference between acceptance and ownership. They're not mutually exclusive. They're not connected. They don't have to be connected. Anyway, oh my gosh, Daniel and I, we just have so much fun. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break, and we'll get more about being present, because I know Daniel kind of makes it sound really simple, but he's going to give us some tips on actually staying there. So we'll be right back.
Life Interrupted Radio will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com to learn more.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living. A chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Show. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com, and tonight we are just honored and blessed to have Daniel Gutierrez here. He's the author of the brand new book, it's his fifth book, guys, on radical mindfulness. It is a departure for him as far as his books go, and it is a very powerful book. It's taken him over a decade journey, and now he's sharing with us what all he learned on coming back to, I'll say, who he really is. So welcome, Daniel. Thanks so much for everything you've shared so far. A quick question came up for me about the discussion of presence that we were just having. When I work to be present, and there's a key word there, work. That's probably not the right word. I should reframe that. But I'll say it. When I work to be present, I can get there. But I find whatever reason, distractions, things, internal, external, I can only stay a moment. Any tips on?
Yes. Well, you know,
they're a little bit longer.
Actually, it's funny that you say that, because the subtitle of my book is How to Find Peace and Tranquility in as Less as 60 Seconds. And so that's a moment, a few moments. We're human. Stopping our thoughts. I remember, I got to tell you this story. Imagine me in a monastery in Kathmandu up in the hills. And my first time when I first got there, and there's this monk who's teaching a class. I happen to be in it. Not many people. Anyway, I raised my hand. I said, I have a question before we get started. How do I find peace and tranquility? And he says, breathe. I said, I think you misunderstood me. I'm looking for peace and tranquility. And he says, breathe. And we did this back and forth 6 times. I said, look, buddy. Let me drop you in the middle of Manhattan on a busy street and see how much breathing you do. And people are going, oh my gosh, this guy, you know, and what I'm getting at is unless you're a monk and that's all you do all day long is meditate. And that's part of what you do, pray for our world, which by the way, we need those people. Then the rest of us suffer from distraction. 80,000 thoughts per day go through our mind. 80,000. That's a minimum. 80,000 thoughts per day. It is part of our human experience to be distracted. And so I always say, if you can get 60 seconds, which by the way, most people can't, because they can't even sit at a red light, you know, without going nuts. And every time I do this exercise at where I'm speaking, 30 seconds is about as far as they can go, right? And that's okay. I'm here to say it's okay. That's the rest of the world. That's why I wrote this book for the person that needs to know that whatever they're doing, there is no right or wrong way. There's just your way. And if it's just 60 seconds or 30 seconds, then you keep doing 30 until it's 31, until it's 32. And you keep doing that. Eventually, you'll build that muscle. That's what radical means. Radical mindfulness is the practice of mindfulness throughout the entire day. So there are people who do yoga, they do meditation, they do all kinds of stuff, burn Palo Santo, whatever it may be that they do. The problem I see with that is not that they're doing the practice. It's that when they get to the freeway and someone cuts them off, their fingers are flying, their mouth is opening. If that's true, you have no practice, because you're supposed to be able to stop before you act. So the goal here then is, it doesn't matter if it's 10 seconds or 10 hours, is that whatever you bring into your human existence, that you carry that with you all day long. And it might be that in the beginning, you have to go, oh, I need to breathe. Most of us hold our breath all day long. So breathing is an easy way to get yourself back into a place of presence. Breathing before we act is important. Breathing before we make a judgment about ourselves. Breathing about before we make a judgment about what it is that we have is absolutely, I mean, I remember arguing with this monk and, you know, at a monastery, and then realizing how true that was. That if that's all I did, for those of you watching, if that's all you do is stop and take a deep breath, I commend you for that. That's more than most people do because they're holding their breath. But I do know this. If you give yourself 60 seconds, you'll give yourself 120 because the results are amazing. And the young lady I was working with, her ability to stay present and to recognize that in that moment, she had pain in her hands a lot in her hands, that the pain is real. But without being present and breathing, it became a problem. But when she was able to say, I will accept that my hands are hurting, she was also at the same time be able to say, as you said, I don't have to feed the cockroaches.
You know, what's powerful and interesting, a number of medical professionals, I try to explain this to them in the most gentle way, is that when there is a condition and you're living through it, like the woman had the pain in her hands, and I know the more you focus on it, the more painful it becomes from personal experience. And I like to say at times we lose perspective and no longer know when an itch is just an itch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I have found about your work is the ability to stop myself and say, okay, is this just an itch?
Right.
Just a simple question. And that walks me back off the edge. Mm-hmm. And that's all I need.
And that's what we do, though. We create more problems for ourselves, believing all the stuff that we get from people around us. The truth is, nobody lives our experience but us. That's power. We can hear all kinds of stuff about people saying what they want to say, doctors included. I mean, how many cases have been proven with cancer and all these different kinds of experiences, human experiences, where it went away or it's not there or it was minimized? Millions. Well, what was different about that person and me? They had a commitment to being radical about the way they thought. And they weren't going, although they may have accepted the condition, they didn't own it. They just said, okay. Because many times we began to allow those deep thoughts to become who we are. So I used to, this is going to sound crazy. People used to say to me, when I was first starting out speaking, that I was the world's number one Latino motivator. I used to actually have that embroidered in my suits, not because I wanted to remember who I was. And then one day, someone stood up at a medical conference I was speaking at, and I never forget this because this is what this doctor said, medical doctor gets up and says, you are not the world's number one Latino, I mean, in front of 400 people, you are not the world's number one Latino motivator. And I went, I didn't say nothing, I just waited. He said, you are the world's greatest motivator that happens to be Latino. And that's the same thing about us and the conditions that we have. My name is Daniel Gutierrez. It happens to have, it doesn't define me. And I changed my entire way I approach my career because of that. And it's the truth about whatever it is that doctors tell us we have or don't have. If you want to accept the prognosis as a death sentence, then so be it. Unfortunately, my mother passed away because of bad eating habits over a long period of time. And in the end, you know, I realized we have the ability to choose what we do with our bodies and what we give our bodies for food. And one of the most powerful things we have is the power of the mind and the power of what we accept in our own reality and what manifests itself in this reality. And so unconditional acceptance is just one of the things that, one of the practices that I talk about. I also talk about the practice of forgiveness. Oh my goodness. I mean, if we all have something, folks, we all do. We may have autoimmune, we may have cancer, we may have addictions. It's part of the human experience. We just don't go around telling everybody, hey, look what I mean, we don't have these signs. But what we do with our own body language is say, poor me. And people pick up on that. So forgiveness is huge. Self-forgiveness. Forgiving, I mean, that was one of the things that I had to go through all my life. is forgiving myself, because for some reason, all the crazy things I did in my 20s, I felt like I had to redeem myself the rest of my life. But that's not true. I thought it was true, you know, but it's not true. Forgiveness is something that allows us to release that poison from our system. Imagine if we go through our life and we release, you know, we have unconditional acceptance. We release that self-forgiveness. We connect to essence, to ourselves, and we work in the space of gratitude. I mean, this is what I was trying to tell that young lady. I said, you know, that without this condition, you have no voice. No one's going to listen to you. That's what makes you unique. Why would you throw away an opportunity like that? You can eventually minimize symptoms just by your own thinking. But to ignore it creates a bigger problem. It's winning. It's like the cockroach getting, you know, 4 feet tall.
Exactly. And thousands of them all at once.
Thousands of them, right?
Years ago, I had a mentor explain to me, it wasn't around autoimmune, but it was around, I'll say, a difficult personality type. Mm-hmm. And I was sort of whining. And they looked at me with a straight face and said, until you learn to deal with that personality type, it will multiply.
Yeah.
And I sort of went, oh, poo-poo. This silly thing. Within 3 or 4 days, who do I get assigned to work with but another same personality type? So now I have two in my life. It took me until number three popped up about 10 days later for me to go back to my mentor. Okay, you're right. Now what?
Right.
But that's how I find that things, not just autoimmune, but things happen in our life until we face them head on and say, what is there to learn? What are the gifts?
You know, it's funny you bring that up, because it's kind of going to the extreme saying, I am healed. And when are we healed? When we can let go of the expectation of what healed looks like.
You know, it's funny you mention that. My doctors will say, Sharon, still to this day, because they'll say, you are like, this is amazing. You're in the top percent of all the people with your condition. This is fantastic. And I'm like, great. I say, would you like to know what I'm doing? And they go, no. I'm like, too bad. Oh, that's a shame. But where I was going with also was they'll say, now, Sharon, you have to be very careful. You're not cured. And I don't really care if I'm cured. I'm optimized and I'm feeling great.
Yes. Good for you. Yes. I love that. Optimized. You know, I mean, who's ever cured? I mean, think about it. I remember once walking down downtown Los Angeles and looking over at this guy, homeless guy. Obviously, my first thought is he's crazy because he's talking to air. I mean, like there's somebody there. And then I had another thought behind that. And I thought, who's crazier, him or me? Because I have the same conversation. You just can't hear mine.
Good point. We need to take a final quick commercial break, man. But we'll hold that thought because that's really powerful. We'll be right back.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. join us at projectforgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there. Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Show. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And tonight we're just having an awesome, spirited, intriguing, fantastic conversation with Daniel Gutierrez. He's the author of his fifth book, Radical Mindfulness. We've been talking about how to have profound inner peace in as little as 60 seconds. And so much of his journey and the journey of the healing experience, whether it's autoimmune or the human experience, are so intertwined. Now, before we had to take that quick commercial break, we were talking about this concept of who's more crazy, that dude or me. So. Yeah.
Well, and the reason I brought that up was because everybody thinks that whatever they have is unique to them. And everyone thinks that whatever they have, they're the only one that has it. And everybody thinks that whatever they have is more painful or more whatever than the other person. The truth is we all experience what's relative to our lives, whatever it is that our journey on this earth is. And here's something else for those of you that are maybe more evolved. This lifetime, you were chosen to experience this human condition, this experience. To not experience it fully is to come back and do it again. So if we can accept, this is why acceptance is so important, unconditional acceptance. You don't have to like it. When we can accept that and realize, then we can see the gift behind that. When we get out of our need to get caught up in self-pity or get caught up in woe is me, we can find the true essence of our existence and move into a space that moves others like you are, Sharon, like you're this, doing this call, doing these interviews. Who would do it? And what would you be doing if you didn't have this conversation? Everyone else is, I mean, we got gardeners. We got show, a lot of boring shows out there. Maybe not to someone else, but I'm not saying your gardening is boring because the next thing you know, I'm going to get a bunch of phone calls. But whatever it is, I look at my life and Sharon, it has been the most difficult path. My life has been short of easy, although people think it looks easy. It looks easy because I choose to come from love. I choose to come from forgiveness. I choose to come from acceptance. And that I never thought I would live out of my 20s. I really didn't believe, I believe 25 was it for me. And the reason I believe that is because my dad was killed in his 20s, my brother was killed in his 20s, and my half-brother was killed in his 20s. I was the only living male in my family tree. I had no idea I'd get to 55, but I did. And today I can see that I'll live well into my 80s and 90s. And life has been, pardon expression, a bitch. It's been, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. It's been ugly. Read my first book and you'll go, wow. Many people read and go, wow, did you have to be that honest? Yes, because I wanted you to know that I feel your pain. I understand your pain. I've been there, but I don't allow all that. I remember I used to say, you know, people always talk about being in a room full of manure, you know, horse manure. And I'd say, I was the optimist going, well, there's got to be a horse in here somewhere. I didn't get here by itself. Maybe I can ride out of here. But life has been so difficult that the universe has been able to mold me into this. I used to say that, you know, the universe, God was molding me into this beautiful vase when I would have been happy being an ashtray. You know, but, you know, every time the potter threw the clay down to get the bubbles out, it was painful. And yet through all that pain and all that suffering, I found a way to communicate the good in life, the beauty in life, the love in life, the compassion in life, the forgiveness in life, all those things that I know that Buddha and Jesus both taught and all of the great teachers taught was the law of love. love, compassion, understanding, and forgiveness, when we can take that and turn it inward, the end of struggle and the end of competition, we can find beauty in our life no matter what ails us. And that's really my message, right? Being so radically mindful that we recognize the blessing and the fact that there are others that are 6 foot under. They don't get a shot at this anymore. There are no rehearsals. We get one shot at it. You get one shot at it. So let's change that. And again, I want to say this because people, I'm not minimizing what we do or do not have. I'm not minimizing that. I understand. What I am saying is we all have our version of shit. What we choose to accept is up to us.
That's so true. We can acknowledge without accepting. And I find it profound. It was an interesting lesson for me as I turned forgiveness inside and I turned self-love or love inside, giving myself empathy and understanding. Mm-hmm. It became profoundly easier to express it externally as well. It was just this interesting thing that you're out there expressing, yes, I'll work on forgiving or I'll work on loving that person, whatever. But yet it didn't happen that easily. It was a struggle until I turned inward and then the outward expression became effortless.
That is the key. That is the magic right there, what you just said. And I'll share experience. One of the lessons that I wrote in my book about was in a town called Ollantaytambo in Peru. I make several trips a year to Peru to take people on spiritual journeys there. And this particular time, I was with a shaman in a place called Pumamarca in a little town called Ollantaytambo. And Pumamarca was about 13,000 feet, and it was an old Inca fortress. And you could see the roads and the mountains where they would watch to see if anybody was coming down into the little village. And I'm looking at my shaman. Well, I make fun of this in the book because I asked him his name. I thought I was going to get some Quechua name that was difficult for me to say. And he said his name was Freddy. I was like, no, dude, you can't be Freddy. You can't be my shaman and be Freddy. Give me another name. He says, no, that's my name. I said, okay, whatever. So that's Freddy. So Freddy's looking off into the distance. And this guy's like 5 foot nothing. And I decided at the moment, I said, I'm going to record this conversation. And so it's a video, and you can go to my YouTube page and you'll see it there. And he's got all his garb on, the stuff that they wear in ceremony. And I said, Freddie, what's the secret to life? So I'm going to tell you exactly what he said in Spanish, and then I'll translate. And he says, Daniel, he's got this big baritone voice. He says, Daniel, el secreto de la vida es amar a Dios primero. Después, a nosotros mismos, y de ahí podemos amar a todos. No hay otro, como se dice, there's no other path. And so what he was saying was, we have to love the divine first. Then we love ourselves. And then others. So what you were saying is powerful, because what he was saying was, you cannot give what you do not have. There is no oneness with the universe without self-acceptance, self-love, self-compassion, self-forgiveness. If that doesn't exist, your oneness is an empty gesture toward the world. There cannot be a oneness movement of people connecting if those people are not connected to themselves. It's futile. But when we do what you said you did, and you turn that inward, the end of struggle and the end of competition, we find self-love, we find self-acceptance, we find self-forgiveness, we find the ability to find gratitude and celebration in our lives, and then whatever we have. That's all. That's all. It doesn't define us. And that's the magic of life is, and I know because it does, again, it doesn't matter what ails you. We all have been there. I always have said, you know, we can all get in a big circle and sing Kumbaya about who has what and just cry. Right? I mean, really. Well, I got to play the guitar. Oh, let's go all the way around. Let's all get it out. But that doesn't serve us. It doesn't serve humanity. When we're able to give ourselves that kind of love and connection, and the only place you find that is when you're present, when you're radically mindful, that's where you find all that. And then, as Gandhi said it very eloquently, he said, we will not have world peace and world connection until we forgive those that are broken. What? Now you want me to forgive people and love people that are broken? Well, without that, then there is no healing. But it does start with us first, being that mindful, being that connected. And it can be done. And I saw it with this young lady who absolutely thought I was the craziest guy in the world. She didn't think I'm so crazy now, but it did take me 2 years. Constant reprogramming what her parents told her, reprogramming what her doctors told her. Now, it doesn't mean that she does not have the condition, but the actual symptoms of the condition are pretty minimal.
Oh, absolutely. It doesn't mean that you don't have the condition. It's true. And I still do a lot of self-care that I didn't do pre-diagnosis. Sure. And so it's not about giving up on certain things, but what happened for me was being mindful and listening to my body of when I did or didn't need certain interventions. I was able to wean myself from all of the prescription medications after a very short period of time compared to what the prognosis I'd been given and how long I would be on those medications. Mm-hmm. But mindful of that it was my choice, and also mindful of that I had been working diligently to listen to my body, what was it needing at that moment. And every fiber was telling me, not this, and it set me on a different path. And I recommend that people check in with their bodies a lot and just listen, take notes and listen. And Daniel, oh my gosh, this has been awesome. We'll have to have you back. We're out of time. We're just, oh my gosh, down to the last 4 minutes. Any final tips, and tell us where to get your book. It's awesome.
Yes. Well, the book is out now. You can get it for 99 cents on Amazon. So I not only want you to get one, get five. No. So I want you to go get the book, and I want you to share it with everybody and write a review if you like the book. It's an easy read. You're going to read it really quickly. I do that on purpose. I write that way to make it easy. Nobody really cares how smart I am. They want to know, can you help me with what I have, right? So you can go there. And if you go to my website, danielgutierrez.com, danielgutierrez.com, there's a 60-second meditation there for free that you can grab. And this 60-second meditation I did, I remember asking my friend, Roberto Pereira, who happens to be a Latin Grammy Award-winning harpist. We're in the Andes together drinking coffee. And I said, Roberto, you think you can warm up that harp and we can do a meditation? And we're looking at the Pachatusan Mountains and it's raining, beautiful day. And he says, absolutely. So he warmed it up and he goes, okay, how long are we going to go? I said, 60 seconds. He said, what? I can't even warm up in 60 seconds. I said, yeah. So anyway, that gift is there for you. Thank you so much. I love you. I can feel your spirit. I love your show. This is what life's all about, is people getting real. We're not in any shape or form dismissing the fact that we have conditions that hurt and that are painful and that bring us down. But we are advocating that it can be different, and we can minimize that by just being radically mindful that the longer we sit in perfect presence, the more power we have.
Oh, thank you, Daniel, so much. And everyone will have the spelling of his website up at understandingautoimmune.com for you as well. So you can pop over there. And as always, you guys know this is available in video and podcast. So if you're listening to it, pop over to YouTube and see Daniel in video, or vice versa. Take it with you. Listen to it over and over again, because it was just powerful, powerful. And we will have a transcript for you as well. This is one of those I deeply suggest you go over to understandingautoimmune.com and download the transcript, because Daniel shared so much in such a rapid fire session that you'll want to take your marker and just highlight things to remember. Everyone, thank you so much. As I mentioned, YouTube, join us on Facebook, Instagram as well. And if you know a great guest, like I said, we just happened to find out that we had two mutual friends and now developed an awesome friendship ourselves. So if you happen to know a great guest, pop over to understandingautoimmune.com. Let me know. There's a place there about be a guest. Just drop me a quick note, because I love to read all of those. And be sure and join the Courage Club over there when you get to understandingautoimmune.com as well.
Everyone, have a great week. Whatever your adventures, join me next Friday for another brand new episode. As always, enjoy.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites understandingautoimmune.com and lifeinterruptedradio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites and other media outlets, is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio. You've been listening to Life Interrupted Radio. To learn more, listen to other shows, and gain free resources that can help empower your life, be sure to stop by lifeinterruptedradio.com.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach. And my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.